My favorite song. I like that song. Well, how many of y'all have ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? Anybody heard of J. Vernon? A couple of people. You got showing your age. Yeah. J. Vernon McGee was a great radio preacher and pastor and really theologian. I had all of his commentaries, and somehow moving around over the years, I've lost them. And that upsets me because I tell you what, they were good. They were really good. But J. Vernon, when he would preach, he would often mention little Bobby. Now, I want to make sure, you know, we got a couple of little Bobbies here, and I talked to both of them, and neither one of them knew personally J. Vernon McGee. Now, Bobby Boyd has heard him preach because he's old like me, and he, you know, so it would be a great honor and privilege to meet him. But I want to make sure you know that because sometimes people accuse me of making up stories about people here in the church, and I don't want that to be the case today. But one Sunday morning, several years ago, J. Vernon McGee came into his church, and he noticed that little Bobby was standing in the foyer of the church. We don't have a foyer, but if we did, it would be the entrance, you know, that's kind of before you come into the church. All of y'all have seen churches that have those. And he was standing there, and he was looking at this plaque that was up on the wall. And on either side of the plaque were just two little American flags sticking out. And it had all these names on it. And little Bobby was looking at it. And so Pastor McGee, he just kind of went and stood there by Bobby because he loved Bobby. Bobby loved his pastor, you know. And they stood there and looked at it. And J. Vernon finally said, "Well, good morning, Bobby. How you doing?" And little Bobby said, "I'm doing well." He said, and he looked at the pastor and he says, "Pastor McGee, what is this?" Pastor McGee said, "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the men and women who have died in the service." And they stood there a little bit more and they looked at it, you know. And little Bobby, you know, he was just real quiet and quiet, very quietly. He looked at him. He says, "Which one, the 9 o'clock or the 10:30 one?" He was scared to death because he wanted to make sure he wasn't in the one where they was all dying, you know, and everything. And I thought about that because I thought, you know, sometimes we do get worked up over stuff that we don't understand. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you hear about people dying in the service and you don't know what the service they're talking about and you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, what service are they dying in?" And I've noticed this. Been here longer than some of y'all, and I've noticed that people nowadays seem to be a little more stressed out than they used to be. I think sometimes that people are more filled with fear. And in a way, you know, we always stress terrorism and all of that. And in a way, I think that contributes to it. I think people think about things like that. And in a way, the terrorists have won. They are utterly satanic because that's how you know that they are, because Satan operates by terror. So by the very definition, a terrorist of any kind is a worker of Satan. Sometimes we're filled with fear. And, you know, I've also noticed that sometimes nowadays, or often nowadays, people are struggling with fear because they want to get something that they want, but that they can't keep. And if you think about it, anything we get, whether it's a possession, whether it's a relationship, whatever it may be, it's temporary. Because you're not 100 years from now, you're not going to have that stuff that you want. You're not going to have the relationship except for the one you have with the Lord Jesus. You know, that's why it says when you get married, till death do you part, because they don't have marriages in heaven. We'll know each other and all of that. But it'll be a different type of thing. So people are struggling. They want this. They want to find the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And even if they get it, they're not going to be able to keep it forever. So we are concentrating on getting temporary things, and that leads to fear. And this morning we want to look at the Word of God, specifically Psalm 131. And it's just two things here that I want us to see that we can learn that can help us to do away with fear and stress in our lives. Very short psalm, Psalm 131. Let me just read it quickly. Lord, my heart is not haughty or proud, or my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord, and from henceforth and forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and what we can learn from it. Help us to do that today with your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said that this psalm was the shortest psalm, but that it took the longest to learn. And that's true sometimes. Sometimes the great lessons take us longer to learn. And it talks about the reason why, because we have to grow up. Notice that word weaned. That means you're getting off of milk on the regular food, and that means growing up. Anytime you see that in the Bible, being weaned, that means you're growing up. And you think about that, this psalm talks about how to relax. And this morning we want to learn this. Now don't get carried away and get too relaxed and go to sleep on me. Well, I'll do you like my grandma did my grandpa and leave you here till tonight. So, you know, we don't want to do that. Wade says he's already relaxed enough. He has trouble staying awake at home and everything else. But the first thing we want to see in this psalm is about how to relax is look in verse 1 again. My heart is not haughty or proud. My eyes are not lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Trust God when things first, when concerns first begin. You know, the problem is we want to be God. We want to be the God of our lives. And David, the psalmist, is saying here, I don't want to be God. I don't want to be haughty. I don't want to concern myself with things that I can't control. Don't try to take it on yourself. And while I'm all for Christian counseling, the main counselor that we must go to first as Christians is God and His Holy Spirit and His Word. It's good to share fears and concerns with each other. That's why we're here as a body. Your friends and your family. And yes, counselors. But first take your fears to God. And take it to the Lord in humility. Did you notice that? His fear, His things that he was stressed out with are too great for him to handle. It's too difficult for him to handle, so he comes to God with them. Now, let me talk to the men here. Men, most of us want to fix things. Wives, you know what I'm talking about. You're scared to tell your husband something because they're going to want to fix it. That's the way we are. God made us to fix things. You know, When my wife's having struggle, first thing I want to do is get in the middle of it and fix it. My kids are having problems. I want to go, you know, down there to that college and straighten them out. You know, they're struggling at work. I want to go talk to their boss. You know, whatever. I want to fix it. I'm made to fix things. But I also know this, I don't like to be fixed. You know what I'm talking about, guys? You know what I'm talking about. We like to fix things. We don't like to be fixed. You know, God made us that way, and in a way that's good because we are to be the providers. But it's something to think about. And women, think about this with you. Many of you want to be in charge. You can't help it. You know, you want your good women. You love Jesus, and you know that your husband ought to be in charge. But when he tries to be in charge, it just irritates the heck out of you. And you know, I know why, because in my case, most of the time I mess it up, you know, when I try to be in charge. So it's just easier a lot of times just to do it yourself. You just want to take it on and be in charge, and you have that habit, and you're wishing you either you are or you wish you were. You're like the man. Men want to be God. They want to fix everything. Ladies, you do too. And that's what happened in the garden. Remember that? Eve, when she was being tempted, and Adam was there with him, and the devil said, you know, God doesn't want you to eat that fruit, because he knows if you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. In other words, they ate the fruit because they wanted to be God. But if you want freedom from stress, if you want freedom to relax, and no matter what, you must learn to let go of it and turn it over to God the moment you begin to be concerned. Because you can't fix it. I got a little dog. I got two dogs. Old Bacon, he lives outside, and I've told stories about Bacon. This isn't about Bacon. This is about my other dog that lives inside. And I've said ever since, and my wife will confirm this, that I would never have a dog that lived in the house. Am I right? I didn't realize I was going to have a daughter. And my daughter wanted this dog, and the dog was going to live in the house. And I wasn't real thrilled about it, Jay, but her little horse we got her got ate up by the neighbor's dog. And I was kind of afraid to get her anything else outside, and I felt bad because it seems like every time she got a pet outside, something happened to it. So we got this dog, and that's fine, but realize this, when you get your daughter that's in the eighth grade or whatever, a dog that lives in the house, she's getting ready to be gone in 4 or 5 years, and the dog isn't going to be. And understand that dog is going to find somebody else to be its master. And it's always going to be the person that probably doesn't want it there in the first place. Always. So anyway, we got this dog, and this dog's scared of two things. Well, it's scared of everything, but two things that really scared it is gunshots. Man, he was scared yesterday. Man, it sounded like a war in my yard. Old Joseph was there, and Danny was there, and they had those guns. It was something. Bobby, you should have been there. No, you shouldn't have. And storms. That dog is scared of storms. We know when a storm's coming because it may be sunny, not a cloud in the sky, and that dog, when a storm is coming, comes to find me. Wherever I'm at, if I'm in the house, and gets up there right with me. Why? Because he knows who the big dog at our house is. Now, he's stupid and doesn't know any better, but he thinks he knows who the big dog. I am the biggest dog, right? I would go there. But he gets with me at the beginning of the storm. Now, guys, he's smarter than most of us. We don't go to God at the beginning most of the time, do we? We've got to fix it ourselves first. We can handle it. We can be a little God of some kind. We want to be in charge. We get ourselves in a big old mess. And then we can't sleep. We can't rest. We can't relax. So how do we relax? Well, number one, we trust God when concerns first begin. Now, the other thing the Bible tells us to do in our text is to trust God after things begin to happen. So whether you trust God at the beginning of the actions or whenever, you need to hang in there and keep trusting Him. Verse 2, again. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. And it says, let Israel hope in the Lord and henceforth and forever. The word there is quieted. and it could also be calmed. And it is two, those are two Hebrew words that mean really leveled. Leveled. They are used to describe the ocean after the storm has passed. You know, the water's calmed, the water's quieted, the water's leveled off. It's an interesting story in the New Testament. Miss Deborah, I thought she'd get ready to tell this one. I said, how does she know that? But she did. You didn't. I would have been kind of scared if we did. But interesting story in the New Testament about this thing. Now, there's a misprint. I don't know who did that, but there's a misprint in your notes, kids. It's Mark 4. Okay, not like somebody put 7, but it should be 4. Verse 36. Familiar story. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, this is the disciples, even as he was in the ship, Jesus, and they were also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, that's the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, Master, do you not care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The waters leveled. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Didn't help him because they got more scared. But it's a different kind of fear. And said to one another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? In this story, we see two reactions to the storm. And it's the only two that are available. And it's the same two reactions that all of us have when storms come up in our lives. The first reaction is the disciples' reaction. The disciples' reaction. They're in this storm. The boat is filling up with water. They are getting ready to go down. Because I don't know if you realize this, those of you that don't know a lot about boats, but when that boat fills up with water, you're probably going down. Okay? Well, their reaction was, ah! You can't get any rest in here, can you? You know, the reaction was fear. They were afraid. I'm convinced. I mean, look, these guys were fishermen, some of them. They knew what was going to happen if that boat went down. You know, probably they didn't know how to swim. You knew Matthew didn't because he was a tax collector. Well, they know about swimming. Fear. And Jesus said that. He said, Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? And then there was Jesus' reaction. Jesus' reaction was a little bit different. Jesus' reaction was he was back in the back of the boat asleep. That's a little different, you know. He didn't even wake up, you know. He was asleep. Do you think he was worried about it? No, he wasn't worried about it. He wasn't worried. You know, if there's a storm, if my wife happens to wake up, probably not going to happen. But if she does, she is going to get in our closet. I'm not. I'll be honest with you. It's not necessarily a matter of faith as much as it is laziness. But I just, you know, she, you know, reacts differently than we. Jesus' reaction was he wasn't worried. And why wasn't he worried? It wasn't because he was asleep. He was asleep because he wasn't worried. And Jesus explains it in verse 40. Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus was not afraid because he trusted God no matter what the weather was like. The disciples were afraid because they did not trust God. No matter what the weather was like. And listen to me, folks, storms are going to come in life. Sometimes you'll be in the middle of one before you know it. But you can still rest if you have faith in God. Jesus was God. What did he do to the storm? He said, Peace, be still. And the storm calmed itself down and was still. He calmed it. He quieted it. He leveled the water. Now, if you go back to our text here
in Psalm 131, I have behaved and quieted myself. That's what he's talking about. He calmed it. Go to Jesus. He can calm the fears. He can calm the struggles. He can calm the storms in your life. He can give you peace. He can give you rest. He said he would. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the lesson of Psalm 131 is that God is weaning us from the things that are temporary so that we might enjoy the things that are eternal. Our struggles are usually with the temporary. They're usually with the temporary. I could ask, how many of you are worried about something right now? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you're worried about something, it could be that you are in a storm. Could be you are getting ready to go into a storm. Perhaps you just got through going through a storm. I don't know. But sooner or later, storms are going to happen. The things that we need to understand is this. The thing that we need to understand is that those things that most of the time stir us up and give us worry and fear and whatever are the temporary things of this world. If they're not going to matter in 100 years, they're temporary. Now you think about that. You think about it. Many of us worry about our relationships with other people. They're temporary. Many of us worry about our stuff. It's all temporary. All of it is temporary. What we need to be concerned about are not these temporary things that just totally, you know, are temporary and are not going to be of eternal significance, and to think about what is of eternal significance, ourselves and our relationship with King Jesus. If you are saved, you do not have to worry because you are in Jesus' boat. You're in His boat. Now, it may seem like He's back there asleep, and it may seem like He doesn't care, but He does care. He just has the faith that you need and He needs, and everything's going to be okay. He can take care of you. He can take care of your storms. Now, my old dog that I mentioned before, he comes to me during storms because he thinks I'm big. To him, I am big, you know. But I'm going to tell you, what he doesn't realize is that I'm not big enough. You know, if a tornado comes through my house, it doesn't matter whether I'm standing there holding that dog or whether he and I are in the closet hunkered down under all the dirty clothes or whatever. We're going to end up over at WFCA radio tower halfway up. It stung through that thing. Because I'm not big enough to protect him from a tornado. And here's what we do so often. We place our faith in things that are not big enough. We place our faith in our husband, our wife, our mama, our daddy, our kids. They're not big enough. But we have a God who is big enough, and He can calm any storm, and if you're saved, you're in His boat, and you and I can trust Him when those storms start up. We can trust Him in the middle of the storms if we have faith. Jesus rested in the back of that boat because of His faith. You know, but we, you know, are like my old dog. We put faith in the wrong things, you know. The old dog just needs to get saved, doesn't he, Cambry? Needs to get saved. My dog needs to get saved, doesn't he? Yeah. Dogs don't get saved. That's silly. That's so silly. But it's not silly for you. And your problem may be that you're not in the boat with Jesus. And your problem may be that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Let me just tell you this. If you are not saved, if you do not have a walk with Jesus, if you do not know Jesus, you need to be tense. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need to be fearful. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need to worry. You need to lay awake at night and think about it, because whatever problems you think you have now are nothing compared to the problems you're going to have when you die and you go to hell. And if you don't know Jesus, this is as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get any better. But if you know Jesus, this is as bad as it's going to get. It's going to be infinitely wonderful. And He has a place prepared for you and your loved ones. And your stuff ain't going to matter. All this old silly stuff we think we need now doesn't matter. But you and the loved ones you have that know Jesus and your family and all of that's going to be taken care of because you're in His boat. But if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come to Him today. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that if you're willing to turn from your sins and turn to Him in faith and call upon His name, you can be saved. Come to Jesus. And Christians, I'm going to challenge you to remember whose boat you're in when you get ready to face a crisis. If you were in the middle of a storm, remember whose boat you're in, who's in the boat with you. Trust God when your fears first begin. Trust Him after the storms begin. It's called having faith. Remember whose boat you're in. You know, this is a weird world in which we live, and it's getting weirder every week. It is just getting strange, isn't it? How many of us are more than 20 years old? Has the world gotten weirder in the last 10 years? And it's not going to get any, you know, it's not going to get any less weird. I don't care who we elect. I don't care what we do, because we're coming into the end of time and things are going to get weirder and weirder and weirder. And it's really going to be weird to us as Christians because this world is not our home. But if we remember whose boat we are in, if we remember to go to Jesus when struggles first start, if we remember to trust Him in the midst of the storm, we can truly relax no matter what. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time of invitation, there may be someone here that doesn't know You as their Savior. We pray that this time right now, this day right today, would be the day they would come to You. And I pray, Lord, there's been many struggles and storms in my life, and You've got me through all of them. Sometimes I didn't have the faith I needed, though, Lord, and it was a real struggle getting through them. Help us all to see that all those struggles are times of weaning us away from this world into living by eating the bread of life and our relationship with You as Christians. And I pray that Christians would be encouraged in this and realize that these times that we go through that are storms are there to help us to grow in our trust and faith in You. Lord, we want to have a little invitation. If there's anyone here, Lord, that needs to come and pray or come to ask me about asking You into their heart or whatever, that's what this time is for. We just pray this for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your head.